This is VOA News via remote. I'm Laurel Bowman. U.S. President Donald Trump woke up Sunday morning at Walter Reed Medical Hospital, where he is being treated for the coronavirus. His main doctor says that the medical team treating him is cautiously optimistic, but also notes that the president is not yet out of the woods. This latest assessment came from Navy Commander Dr. Sean Conley. He reported that Trump had been up and around in his medical suite during the day on Saturday and had been conducting business. Medical experts say the disease caused by the virus COVID-19 can become more dangerous as the body responds to the infection over time. In a video Saturday from his hospital quarters, Trump said he is feeling better and hopes to be back soon. He is expected to remain at the hospital for several more days. Meantime, the White House is tracing a flurry of new infections of close Trump aides and allies. Attention is focused in particular on the September 26th White House event introducing Trump Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett. There's a court vacancy following the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. At the event, more than 150 people gathered at the White House Rose Garden, mingling, huggling, and shaking hands overwhelmingly without masks. Among those who attended and have now tested positive, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former White House Counselor Kellyanne Conway, two Republican senators, and the president of the University of Notre Dame. And while Mr. Trump is in the hospital, First Lady Melania remained at the White House to recover from her own bout with the virus. In that video Trump released, he said that his wife was handling her situation very nicely, adding that she is just a tiny bit younger than he is. In fact, she is 24 years younger. Melania Trump celebrated her 50th birthday earlier this year. Mr. Trump is 74. This is VOA News. Hundreds of Honduran migrants who had entered Guatemala this week without registering are being bused back to their country's border by authorities after running into a large roadblock. Seldom since 2018 have the prospects for a migrant caravan been so discouraging. Guatemala's president saw them as a contagion risk, and Mexico's president speculated that the caravan was a plot to influence the U.S. elections. And newly formed Tropical Storm Gamma threatened to dump torrential rain on their planned route through southern Mexico. The migrants had also become increasingly frustrated with the lack of food. And South Africa and India have asked the World Trade Organization to waive some provisions in the international agreements that regulate intellectual property rights, this to speed up efforts to prevent, treat, and contain the COVID-19 pandemic. The countries argue that without a rapid waiver of some existing safeguards for intellectual property rights, some countries, particularly developing ones, would find it hard to access vaccines or medicines quickly. Activists have warned that any COVID-19 vaccine could be hoarded by rich countries in a race to inoculate their populations first. Poor countries are not in a position to place large bets on unproven vaccines. Officials in Afghanistan say a suicide bomber detonated an explosives-laden mini-truck in the country's eastern Nangarhar province, killing at least 15 people and injuring dozens more. A government spokesman in Nangarhar told VOA the deadly bombing this weekend occurred near a security installation leaked to the Afghan spy agency. The war-ravaged country has witnessed an escalation of violence in recent weeks, even as representatives of the Afghan government and Taliban insurgents are holding peace talks in Doha, the capital of Qatar. Sudan's power-sharing government and several rebel groups formalized a peace agreement this weekend aimed at resolving decades of regional conflicts, which left millions displaced and hundreds of thousands dead. The three major groups signed a preliminary deal in August with two factions from the western region of Darfur and one from the south. Sudan has been racked by simmering conflict for decades after the oil-rich South seceded in 2011. An economic crisis fueled protests that led to the overthrow of President Omar Hassan al-Bashir last year. And Israelis across the country took to the streets this weekend, continuing months of weekly protests against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, despite restrictions prompted by the coronavirus. The protesters gathered in clusters close to their homes in an attempt not to violate pandemic measures that limit movement within 1 kilometer of one's place of residence. Via remote, I'm Laurel Bowman for VOA News.